I'm just going to start by kind of telling you a little bit more about myself, and then I just have some thoughts to share from the book of Philippians this morning. So I have been involved in overseas missions in a few ways. My first experience was with Habitat for Humanity back in 2008 when I traveled to Honduras. I was only there for a week, but that ended up being a huge catalyst for my interest in missions. The following year is when I went to Kampala and met Sarah, and I'm sure she'll tell you lots of other stories too. I was there for 10 months and working with a local church ministering to university students. So what I would do is meet them for a Bible study or just pray with them. And after I came back from that trip, I knew that I had really changed from that experience and that I had a lasting connection with Africa. For the last 2 years, I've been living in Salmon Arm, teaching at a Christian school, and part of my role there was leading the missions program, and we traveled to Belize, and I just loved watching those high school students interact with the new culture, sometimes for the first time, and experience God in a profound way and come home truly transformed from their trip. Through a series of events over the last several months, I was again in contact with Africa Inland Mission, or just called AIM for short, and eventually offered the position of being the short-term teams coordinator for the Canada office. My new position has three main focuses. The first area is putting together teams for short-term missions, finding placements for them, and then helping with their training. Secondly, I'll be liaising with churches and Bible colleges and helping them set up to put teams with AIM and to go to Africa. And then the third area, I'm going to be helping develop kind of a new ministry for AIM, which is focusing on cross-cultural teams working with Africans in Canada and specifically in the Toronto area. So my hope is to move to Toronto this September and begin work. So yes, Toronto is a big change from Salmon Arm for sure. So just to give you a little bit of an overview of AIM, if you're not familiar with it, it was established in 1895, and its various ministries include evangelism, church planting, leadership development, youth ministry, women's ministry, and relief and development. Its mission statement is Christ-centered church, churches among all African peoples. And there are several sending regions around the world, including Canada, the U.S., the U.K., Brazil, U.K., South Africa. And these regions have offices that send both short-term and full-term missionaries to over 20 African countries. And some of these countries are considered closed nations. Excuse me. So those who go don't go as official missionaries just because of the religious conflict in those countries. And AIM Canada itself has been in service for 60 years. The short-term program, which is what I'll be working with mainly, is sometimes also called the IGNITE program, is an important part of the overall work that AIM does. Those who serve in Africa full-time are often in need of extra support. Short-term missionaries can provide needed energy, helping hands, and new ideas. Sometimes short-termers temporarily fill gaps where there's no one who can fill that position. And IGNITE is not separate from the work that AIM does, but rather plays a supportive role to its ongoing work. And it's this idea of being supportive to others that I want to share with you this morning. So I just want us to think about Paul for a few minutes. Paul was one of the first missionaries as he heard God's call to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. His whole life was devoted to this calling. So often when we read Paul's letters, we can be amazed that so much wisdom was imparted on one man and that his faith never seemed to waver. But we do need to remember that Paul was human and probably did struggle with his faith at times. The other thing to remember is that Paul did not do everything on his own. He had people around him to support what he was doing. And I think one place where we really see this is in the book of Philippians. When Paul writes this letter, he was most likely under house arrest in Rome. To start his letter, Paul expresses how much he cares for the church in Philippi. He then explains that even though he is imprisoned, he sees this as an opportunity to continue to share the gospel. He doesn't care what happens to him. His true focus is in spreading the gospel of Christ. He urges his readers to live a life that is worthy of this gospel. And so what does this life look like? Well, I think the first few verses in chapter 2 answer that. So if you have your Bibles today, if you want to turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Verses 3 and 5 in chapter 2 say, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had." And I think that's a pretty tall order. But instead of just leaving it like that, Paul actually gives an example of what this looks like. So just going a little further down to verses 19 to 30, I'm just going to read that passage. So verse 19. "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks to their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because, as a son with his father, he served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me." So do you see how Paul describes Timothy and Epaphroditus? He doesn't praise them because they're well-spoken or charming. They were true servants. Paul said that he had no one like Timothy. Timothy had proven himself so loyal and self-sacrificing that he was like a son to Paul. I'm sure Paul sometimes felt alone in his ministry, so it must have been such a comfort to have Timothy by his side. When so often it is human nature to think of oneself first, Timothy did the opposite. Epaphroditus, who had been sent by the church in Philippi, almost died bringing a letter and gifts to Paul. There must have been something about Paul that made these men want to stand next to him and do almost anything for him. Undoubtedly, this something was the joy and peace Paul exuded because of his understanding of who God is and Paul's own identity in Christ. The command Paul gave in verse 3, "Do nothing out of vain selfish ambition or vain conceit," was lived out by these two men. And as Paul continues to talk about the joy he experiences, I can't help but think that Timothy and Epaphroditus were part of that joy. People who stand beside us, support us, and share our vision bring us joy. I've had opportunities to meet many different missionaries and hear about their stories that brought them to the mission field. I am constantly amazed and humbled by these people who sacrifice so much because they have chosen to be obedient to the Lord. My response is that I want to support them in what they are doing. I want them to know that they are not alone in the work that they are doing. There are people praying for them and wanting to find ways to support them, even when they can't go to those places themselves. Do you ever stop to think about what brings you joy? For me, it's seeing lives transformed for the Lord. I love it when I see people doing something they usually wouldn't do, stepping out of their comfort zone because they know that's what God's asking them to do. They are putting aside their own needs, their own desire for control, and allowing God to take control. When this happens, God becomes real in a new way. This is why I'm so excited about the position that AIM has given me. In my own life and the lives of some of my students, I have seen great transformation because of a short-term missions experience. I also know that the lives of people we have ministered to have been changed. When I was leading teams in Belize, I would ask my students to share their testimony. They would get up in front of a class of Belizean peers and become totally vulnerable. And you can believe me when I say asking a 15-year-old boy to get up in front of a bunch of other teenagers to just be really honest and open takes a lot of courage and takes a lot of encouragement for sure. Often those listening would be so impacted by these testimonies that they were brought to tears. In that moment, God became more real to the students speaking and the students listening. In that moment, God gave them exactly what they needed. Do you ever feel like there's something you need? Often when we think of someone being in need, it means money. But I can imagine that there are many of us in this room who have something besides finances missing from their lives. Perhaps you have a need for being connected or feel like you want more purpose in life. Maybe there's a health concern. Whatever it is, we all feel as though we are lacking something at some point in our lives. I read this beautiful quotation by Henry Nouwen about the kingdom of God. It says, "The kingdom is where God provides for all that we need. It is a realm of sufficiency where we are no longer pulled here and there by anxiety about having enough. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to live." Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." If we want to grow closer to God, we can't just sit there and expect God will instantly make our relationship better. We need to seek him. Each time we actively seek God and actually do something for him, his kingdom becomes a little more real to us. Each time we show kindness or generosity to others, our anxieties grow a little smaller. Paul experienced joy from the friendship he had with Timothy and Epaphroditus. But they also received joy from the act of encouraging Paul. The more they grew in Christ, the more they were able to think of others. These men had all the same worries we face, money, health, safety. But instead of being anxious, they allowed themselves to experience the kingdom of God. As much as Paul loved these men and wanted them to stay where he was, his hope was eventually to send them to Philippi to encourage and support the church there. It was like an ongoing cycle. People chose to support a vision. They were filled with joy, which led to more people being supported and encouraged. They were living in the realm of sufficiency. I'm here to offer an invitation. I found a way of experiencing joy by standing beside people and supporting them while they take life-transforming steps. And I want to find people who want to be part of this vision with me. Now, the reality of my position with AIM is that it takes the support of others to make it possible. I have a budget set, and I do need a strong base of people who can support me on a regular basis. But there's a bigger picture here than just asking for money. It's about allowing God to make himself real to you. This is about sharing a vision and being a part of something that can bring you joy. I know it can have an effect on you and your walk with Christ. So find a vision that gives you joy and do whatever it takes to support it. I believe doing this can allow you to experience God's kingdom in a new way. My hope is that instead of living a life that is full of anxieties and worries, you see that you can live full of the kingdom and experience peace and joy. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for these words of Paul and these examples of these men that stood next to Paul who encouraged him and brought him joy, Lord. And that's also our prayer this morning, is that you would bring us joy, God. Help us to experience you in a new way, Lord. Help us to put aside our anxieties, our worries, and just look to you and focus on you and hear what you want for our lives, God. I know that when we do this, Lord, you can give us joy. And so I do ask that everyone in this congregation, no matter where they're at, can just experience your joy in a new way. We thank you, Lord, for this community, and that we don't have to do life on our own, that we have people around us to support us. So thank you, Lord, for giving us that gift of community. May all that we do bring glory and honor to you. In your name, amen.